Hello, everybody. It is November 1st, and this is Ilzo Ellen, and I am reading aloud from my current work in progress today. We are going to do chapter 2. I think I'm just going to read the chapter. I'm not sure how long it's going to take. I just did a quick read-through on my own and forgot to time it. So, and then if I have time after I've done with the chapter, maybe we'll chit-chat about a little bit, and I'll tell you more about me. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this. I really love any feedback you can give me. Please know that this is a cold read-through. I have read this chapter out loud once, and this is the second time I'm doing it. So it's very non-professional. We're all casual here in Isawellen's world. My motto is done is better than perfect. I am so not a perfectionist. So here we go. This is from my new book, which I am working on currently now, called Caught. And I still haven't decided if this is going to be an Imago Verse book. If you know anything about my other writing, you know that I've done several Omega Verse stories. Three. That's several, right? And I'm still at a point where I can go that way with this book. So if you want to give me some feedback, leave a comment here on Facebook. I would so appreciate that. What do you want? I'm kind of tending towards Omega Verse, just let me tell you, just because let's be honest, I have a thing for that kink. Anyways, okay, let's go. Let's start this. Chapter 2. Anya. I squirmed in my seat, eyes on the three men, the door, the three men. This was by far the trickiest situation I'd ever gotten myself into. No one wanted the notice of these three, living like kings, a law unto themselves. Everyone in New India bowed and scraped and called them sir. As a hunter, I think Calyx's main job was going after Union outlaws who came to the wildlands to escape whatever law they'd broken. He and his men also hunted other prey, like debtors and contract breakers for a price. He found things that wanted to be lost. Tucked into the corner of this room, I faced men who lived on the edge of life, who mastered every aspect of it, recognized no authority but their own. Union forces hadn't crossed the boundaries of New Indio since the hunter, his men, and his hounds had taken up residency here, not since I was 15 years old. The Union forces didn't dare cross Calyx Argus and his men. What was I going to do? His smoky gray eyes were on me. Standing on the other side of the table, he said nothing, just took me in the way I took him in. I wonder what he saw. Could he tell how I tried to hide my shape, that I darkened my brows and eyelashes and used a wash to darken my hair? Could he tell that I was a natural-born Indiogan? The other guy had called me a witch. I wasn't. I wouldn't be. I wanted nothing to do with witches. My mother had been one. It hadn't ended well for her. I didn't want to die like she had, or be used like that either. I dreamed someday of escaping New Indio and going someplace clean and happy, where I'd be valued as a person, a quiet farm. I'd even be a farm wife if I could have a farm to go with it, some pets, maybe some hounds. I'd live and let live and all of that, find my bliss. The men watched me, studied me. No one said anything. Bradonna came back, with food this time. She carried it like a pro. Two big trays of Jack's best steaks, baked tubers, a bowl of New Indio's finest spicy crunchies, and green juice. The smell made my mouth water. Saying nothing, she looked at each of the men, gave me a frown, and left. They arranged themselves around the table. Calyx took the chair closest to mine. He took a drink of the green juice, Jack's special blend. He said it counteracted soldier sickness that half the men in New Indio had. Other than the powder that smelled like mold, everything that went in it was healthy. I'd seen Jack make it. I snuck the dregs now and then. It tasted as green as it looked. As if the hunter had given them a sign by drinking the juice, the others started eating, but he still watched me. "Everything out there okay?" Metalface asked. Calyx nodded. "You think Stahl will show tonight?" Calyx didn't answer. His eyes were on me. I felt it tiny in the chair next to him. Like my mother, I was on the short side, short-waisted, short legs. I always thought my proportions were out of whack, with too much bust and not enough bottom. With my chest buried under a minimizing bra and fabric bandages, I thought my shape somewhat boyish. These guys hadn't bought it for a moment. Even though I saw more curiosity than lust in their eyes, they made me feel weak and feminine in a way I normally didn't. I hated that. I couldn't take that stare. I looked over his head, longingly at the exit, at the food on the table, in my lap. "You didn't punish them, did you?" I said. "They didn't do anything. You worked them all night as it was. Didn't even give them a bowl of water?" The deluge of words started to pour out of me. Silence would serve me better, but I had no talent for it. "They don't need water or food. They are hellhounds, not dogs," he said. Unable to believe that, I gasped at this. "What nonsense! But they like it," I explained as if to a child. "Makes them feel good, cared for, connected. You mean you never water them or feed them or even brush them? What's wrong with you?" The whole masculine slab of him, scary, came out of his chair. Hand to my throat, he forced my head back at an angle. I was a rag doll in his hands, light, mobile, easy to twist and break. "What is wrong with me? Who are you, little witch? Where did you come from?" "I'm not a witch. I'm a kitchen rat," I answered, feeling a chilly, ugly fear roll around in my chest. Unfortunately, I didn't know the proper way to deal with fear. I should cry, beg, apologize. Instead, that cold spread through me. I started to tremble, look straight into his eyes. "I come from here. I was born in this crap town. You can ask anyone." I kept going. "Ask my stepsister. I'm nobody. I mop floors. I wash glasses. I take out the trash. Before that, I cleaned Mrs. Darrow's house, but she died and some drug dealers took over the place. I didn't want to clean for them. I mean, come on, they were slobs. Before that, I was a picker when I was a kid, but I got too big for the tree branches. They have a weight limit, you know. I'm nobody and you're wasting your time." I knew my words were growing ridiculous, and my tone came out affronted and irritated. I needed conciliatory. I needed appeasing. "And yet, my alpha male defies me by trying to protect you. A nothing farm picker, a little kitchen rat." His words were a quiet, rocky growl. I couldn't deny the animalistic predator feel of them. All men, as far as I could see, were scary. This one more so, on multiple levels. I could feel the current of his life magic, the live wire of it in his hold. Singular, different, like the itchy vibration of the hounds, or when he had spoken those fancy, incomprehensible words. The hot, life-filled power lay just behind the dry calluses of his hands. Skin against skin. Oh, the last thing I wanted. His power like a leech. Drawing at the thing inside of me I decided not to acknowledge existed, making it wake up. I hadn't anticipated this happening, needed it not to happen now. "Could you remove your hand?" I meant to ask it. It came out a demand. His gray eyes had held other colors, striations of black, blue, silver. He was so close I could see them all, smell his warm apple-scented breath on my face. A good option at this moment would be bursting into tears and do something helpless and childlike. Some strong men respond to that. I'd see Brudana use her pout and tears like a weapon. But I couldn't do it. My tears came from frustration and anger, not fear. "Well, maybe if you took care of them better, he wouldn't have wanted to do that, would he?" I knew this was not a man to challenge, and yet, like an idiot, I did it anyways. My hands came up around his hold to cover my mouth and then my face. He grabbed my hands away from my face, held on to two of them and one of his. "What is your name?" "Anya." "No reason not to tell him that." "And your stepsister is?" "You don't know?" I looked at the other two who had been eating and watching the show. Their faces said nothing. I laughed. I don't know if it was funny, but a laugh felt right. I gave them a look that I hoped they interpreted like I knew they'd all been between her thighs. Bredonna is my stepsister. Her father married my mother. You lived here all your life? Bredonna is from D'Oratore, the blonde Gage said. Her father was a traitor. Got into some trouble with the Union, though. Yes? I frowned. One could say that. And your natural parents? The hunter pressed. I didn't want to tell him that. Still holding my hands, still in my space, he squeezed them. I don't want to tell you that. Metal guy barked out a laugh. I frowned. Why was that funny? Tell me anyway. Kellex kept hold of my hands, but sat down. I needed to come up with something. This was not going well. He had all the power. I just had stuff I didn't want him to know that might make him think he needed power over me. I really needed him to stop touching me. This skin-on-skin thing was not good for me on any level. Listen, I didn't do anything to the Hellhounds, okay? I like them. They are beautiful. Incredible. I can't believe you enslaved them like that. They should be free. I would never hurt them. I gave him my most earnest face. I would never hurt them, I repeated. His hand turned mine hot with that magic of his. His intense focus, when no one ever focused on me, made me feel twitchy and uncomfortable. My knees were jumping, ready to run. Why did this bastard have to be so stinking handsome? I liked the strong, bladed shape of his chin, his jaw, his mouth. I don't think ever in my life noticed the shape of a guy's mouth. He had full, soft-looking lips. I liked his green-scented breath, and now that I thought about it, he smelled a lot like the Hellhounds, and I loved that smell. But I didn't like him. Didn't like how he collared what should be free, how he had so much power that people jumped to do his bidding, that he could murder me right here, right now, and no one would make a peep about it. He could do anything he wanted me to. He could do anything he wanted to me. And no one would stop him. I like animals, I guess. I started again. I gave Seven a bone that first night. We made friends. That's all. He cocked an eyebrow. Who told you her name was Seven? You did? He gave a short, sharp shake of his head. He took his hands away from mine. Pulling the release on his jacket, he opened it more over his black shirt. Straps from his weapons went over his shoulders and across his wide chest. I saw the hilts of knives and guns, a walking armory, and as his big hand reached inside his jacket. A flash of silver glinted, and I panicked, thinking it was a knife. Jerking back, scrambling, nowhere to go. I would fight for my life. I would run. I wanted to live. Trained in practice, this man moved faster than I could comprehend. Hands back to my neck. To slit my throat? Worse. Much worse. Still alive in the chair next to him, I gasped through the pounding of my heart as he sat back down and picked up his fork and began to eat his dinner. I didn't have to touch it. I could feel it, feel him, feel ownership. He'd collared me, just like Seven. He'd enslaved me. Cutting into the steak, he took a bite. If Stahl doesn't show, we'll go to him. Get that settled before dawn. Metalface said, not going to stay tonight for cunt? Numb, I watched them, heard them. Process the silver chain he had put around my neck. Kallax shook his head at the last question. Mind if I partake? Again, Kallax shook his head. The two men got up as one and left the room. We sat there in silence. He finished half his plate, then cut a sliver, speared it with his fork, and held it out in front of my mouth. It had his spit on it, but it was steak. Jack only served food by request to certain customers, men like the hunter, and it would be perfect in every way. I reached for the fork. He pulled his hand back, shaking his head. Damn it. No. It was steak. I'd only tasted it a couple times. Scraps, imported, hard to get, inexpensive. Sheep and goat were more common than extravagant beef. less greasy, less stringy. I loved the taste of it. Rare or medium rare, I wanted it. But this stranger, this hunter, had put a magic necklace around my neck and collared me with the same kind of magic he had used to collar his hellhound. Trapped me, taken my freedom. I didn't know the extent of it, but I could feel it. Feel him, his will, all around me. The food thing was obedience training. I knew it. Just like the first bone I brought 7, trust and acceptance, food from his plaint, and his hand to my sensitive mouth. "I'm too young for you," I blurted. "I'm not of age to do it. I'm not. You don't want me. I have no experience. I'm only good enough for drudge work. In the kitchen, with a mop. I'm good with a mop. I can't dance. Madonna says I squawk when I try to sing. I'm not good at anything except cleaning. Please..." I didn't do anything to the hounds. I won't go out there again. In fact, you will never see me again. What do you think I want with you? What men always want? Sitting too close, too big, good-looking enough to make me very uncomfortable. I didn't want to have this conversation. "And what is that?" he asked with a curve to his mouth. I just wanted out of this room and away from him. Why couldn't he see that I was just a mouthy little kitchen rat? "Take this off me," I pointed to the silver thing. Too short for me to see it, I couldn't bring myself to touch it. The thing hummed on top of my clothes, and I dreaded what it was going to feel like against my skin. The fork waved by my mouth. "You aren't hungry?" He knew I was. My stomach had been growling since the stink had come into the room. When I gave my blood away, a transference happened, I think. The hounds healed instantly, but I lost a little of my energy to do it. I don't know. I'd only helped them twice, but that's how it felt. Hungry and a little tired afterwards. "And this was steak. You know I'm starving." "Do I? Have I heard you ask for food? I'd rather leave. Can I leave?" "I don't know. Can you?" I frowned at him. "Games? He liked to play games." I got up, took the opposite side of the table, out of the room, got to the doorway, walked through it without him saying a word. I made it into the bar room, saw my sister in a berth between 2 men, Gage and Metalface, a room full of people, and Jack at his bar. Then my feet were turning, taking me back into the room with Calyx Argus. I inhaled. I got there. I breathed in the scent of hellfire that I could find no perfect words for. I saw him smirking at the end of the table, drinking the alcohol that had been brought in earlier. "I guess you can't. That's good to know. Come here, Enya." My feet, my legs, my body went. Natural movement. My mind and heart wanted something else, but muscle and bone had lined up in perfect agreement. "I won't have someone who can talk to my pack the way you can, running around loose. You understand? You will come home with me. If you want, you can scrub my kitchens and wash my dishes, but you will be where I can keep an eye on you. The pack wants that too, if it's any comfort to you, sweet little witch. They like you. I would like to know why, and you will tell me. You will tell me about your parents and all your secrets. For now, come and eat. Someone has pointed out to me that I need to take better care of my pets. I have been remiss. Let me turn over a new leaf." He gestured to his plate. Going back to the chair, I sat down. Could he make me eat? I didn't know, wasn't ready to find out what the chain around my neck had gained him. Eyes wide, I let him feed me. They closed again as I enjoyed the well-seasoned steak. Even cold, that one bite was better than the scraps of bread and cheese I usually got. I gave in to it a bit, opening my mouth like a baby bird, letting him put the steak inside and enjoying each bite to the fullest. I may have moaned a little, chewing and swallowing, running my tongue over my teeth. The rich protein hits my system with a nice punch. Opening my mouth for more, I waited. He didn't make a sound. Yet I could feel a change in the atmosphere, a weird little shift that raised the hair on the back of my neck. Closing my mouth with an embarrassed snap, I opened my eyes again and looked at the hunter who had captured me. Big, hulking thing. All his intensity and hot inner magic had zeroed in on me with hungry intent while I'd let him feed me. Something had happened. He'd seen me as a girl, an annoyance before, but now there was desire in his eyes. No. That was the last thing I wanted. How old are you? He asked. Not old enough. You have gray hair on your chin. You must be in your late 30s or 40s. Old enough to be my father. So old. Too old for me. He frowned, displeasure lowering his brows. His stony face didn't give away too much, but his eyes were like the weather. They hid nothing. The gray had gone cloudy with the building storm. My fingers and toes tingled with cold, with the fear they had never fully left. It made me stupid and reckless. I knew it. Gritting my teeth, I had to force myself to stop talking, not to say anything else. That's not an answer. I've noticed when you don't want to say something, rather than lie, little witch, you avoid the answer. Why is that? Do you have trouble with lies? Who would want to lie to a man like you? You're a trustworthy hunter guy, right? Sarcasm dripped from every word. Damn it, my mouth. I needed to be placating and agreeable. I needed to just answer the man, but the threat of him caused defiance in every inch of my being. He sighed, a big, heavy body moving kind of sigh from a put-upon man. We had better begin how I plan to go on, Anya. I think I need to teach that mouth of yours some manners. I'm Isawellen, and that is the end of Chapter 2. So what I wanted to take some time to chat about, if you want to stay and listen, is where my name Isawellen came for. And you can pronounce it Isawellen or Isawellen. I don't care. I like both, actually. In my head, I usually say Isawellen. And I say it so smoothly, unlike the made-up names of the story that I'm still learning to wrap my mouth around. I did practice them ahead of time, but you know how that goes. So anyways, my name. I have always been a writer, always wanted to write. I had reams of paper back when I was young. In fact, my first big purchase as an independent young lady was as a word processing machine, an old typewriter that could record what you type onto those little, what did they call those discs? They were the small square ones. I can't even remember the name of them now. I still have some kicking around, actually. But it would record my writing on top of those discs, and I could also print it out. But by recording it, I could edit it. So it was this typewriter-like machine that I actually still have because it was my first purchase. And I put it on layaway and I spent $75 a month on it. I don't know how much it was, more than a couple hundred dollars at least, maybe $300. And that was when I bought that when I was 21. So even before that, I was quite the writer. I wrote a lot in junior high. I went to see Star Wars when I was, nine, and I came home. So Star Wars had that kind of cliffhanger ending. So I went home and had to rewrite the story how I liked it. I do that quite a bit. So anyways, Isawellen is a character of this massive, epic novel that must have been hundreds of thousands of words, I don't know, that I never finished. And she is a girl who goes in, infiltrates the empire to bring down the emperor who she ultimately, she loves, she falls in love with, have many sensual encounters with, but she has to kill him because of what he's done to the empire. And in the end, she does. She kills him, and it's kind of Romeo and Juliet because it breaks her heart to have to do it. Which, thinking of, isn't that how Game of Thrones ended? Kind of. I haven't actually seen the ending. I've been waiting for the book. I haven't watched that last season, although I did look it up to just out of curiosity. I am one of those people that will peek at the end of something, and if I don't like how it ends, I won't even bother to read the book. So, that was back in the day when I wrote stories without happy endings. And I've actually been thinking about this story quite a bit. Should it have a happy ending? I actually prefer the happy ending. But there was another story, Terry Brooks, The Sword of Shannara. I read those ages ago. Didn't they end like horribly? With he has this encounter with this young lady and they go on this adventure and he has to take her somewhere. And then he ends up by, she makes this great sacrifice, turning into either killing herself or turning into a tree or something. I don't even remember. But I hate stories that end like that. I just hate them. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. Your comments and responses are very valuable to me, and I'd love to hear from you. You can also email me at isoellenwrites@gmail.com, isoellen.writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, @gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Oh, this is the other thing I wanted to tell you. I am going to try to do a weekly Friday podcast so that you can listen to the podcast over the weekend, but in your headphones while you're cleaning the house or doing your chores or whatever, whenever you have a quiet time, or in the car or something. So yeah, just think of this as a regular Friday podcast, at least while I have the mojo to do it and I'm enough chapters ahead that I can do it. You know, I'm only human and this is just for fun. So thanks so much for listening.